Philippians in chapter 3, and we'll read from the first verse, and we'll go down the chapter, and then we'll turn to our text. So first of all then, Philippians 3, reading at verse 1, and what happens at verse 1 is Paul wants to talk about rejoicing and what that means, and then he gets sidetracked, and he doesn't come back to the idea of rejoicing until chapter 4. So we're going to experience one of Paul's famous moments when he loses track. Philippians 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is better. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation." And of course, by that he means Jewish preachers, preachers who emphasize the Jewish way of being right with God. "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. If anyone ought to have confidence in the flesh, it is me. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, then I more than him. I was circumcised the eighth day. I am of the stock of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew among Hebrews. With regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. With regard to zeal, I persecuted the church. With regard to the righteousness which comes through the law, I was blameless. But what things I thought of as gain, I now consider loss for Christ. And in fact, I also count everything loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And in fact, I count them as nothing but dung, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which comes through the law, but having that righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." So keep that passage in mind then, and let's turn to our text. We're in Galatians and chapter 2. And what I'd like to do today is focus on verse 18. So our text is verse 20. We're anchoring ourselves in verse 20. But it kind of made sense to me over the past week that we also take a look at verses 18 and 19. So let's read Galatians 2, 18, 19 and 20. We may as well include 21, but we're going to focus on verse 18 today. "For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." Let's read verse 18 again. "If I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Let's ask God to help us then. So what I've said to you on a Sunday morning in the last couple of weeks, is that as Christians, we are under pressure. We are under the same pressure as anyone else. So many of you are under pressure because you're ill and you're facing surgery, perhaps, or some form of treatment. Some of us are under pressure because we're getting older and we know what that's like. Some are under pressure at work because it's very difficult these days to be in the workplace, and things seem to be getting worse in the workplace as the weeks go by, so we're under pressure there. So we're under pressure like everyone else. But do you remember I've said to you that at least in three ways, there's extra pressure that Christians experience. Now, we've been exploring that extra pressure over the last few Sundays. And I've put it like this. We're under pressure sometimes to be better than we are. And I try to call this the pressure of sin. We know ourselves to be sinners, and so we feel, don't we, from inside of us, a pressure to be a little bit better than we are right now. We should do more things. We should read our Bibles more. We should pray more. We should perhaps not have the same struggles with sin as we have. So there's that pressure. What I've thought about this week is the fact that that pressure doesn't only come from inside of us, it also comes from others. And sometimes other people will put us under pressure to be better than we are. And sad to say, I've known a lot of pressure over the years from other preachers who are very keen to put pressure on Christian people to be better, to behave better. And very often, of course, that's in the context of the church. So we are under pressure to be better. Then I've said, should you remember that there's pressure, what we could call the pressure of faith. It's the pressure to trust more, to believe more. That when things are tough, it's the pressure we feel to be able to say, no matter what's going wrong, I'm trusting. It's the pressure to be happier. And again, that pressure can come from within us or it can come from other people, other Christians. We try to talk to them about how things are for us, and then there can be that pressure from the other Christian to be more trusting of God and to be less anxious about things. And then, do you remember, there's the pressure to be different. That's the pressure to witness to those who are not Christians. We feel that pressure to show non-Christians that they need to be saved, they need Christ, and we try to show that by being different to them and showing the ways in which we are different to them. And of course, again, that's a pressure that can come from preachers putting pressure on us to behave in certain ways to show that we are different from non-Christian people. These are additional pressures, as if we haven't got enough to put up with just living life, we have these additional Christian pressures. Now, I've set myself a task of taking those pressures off. Some of you feel them, others of you don't, and that's fine. But I feel my task is to take those pressures off, and I've started with the first of them. The pressure we feel to be better, to be less sinful, I suppose, than we think ourselves to be. So we turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and those surrounding verses, and we've said, do you remember, that the way to deal with that pressure that we feel is identity Christianity. So just to show you what I mean, take a look at Galatians 2, 18 to 20, 21 included, and just note again how often you see the pronoun I. In verse 18, it's three times. If I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. We deal with pressure by building Christian identity. I. What's true of me as a Christian? So there are eight I statements. We've done one. I have been crucified with Christ. And we talked about what that meant last Sunday. I want to build on that now by looking at verse 18, and I want to explore those three I statements that you find in verse 18. So, if you like, what we are doing is very modern. We are doing identity stuff. And you can answer the pressures you feel if you have a good understanding of your identity as a Christian. So we are building that identity on a Sunday morning, step by step. We are building it I by I statement. So we've done the first. I have been crucified with Christ. This is what we're going to do today. We're going to start in verse 18 with the second of those I statements. If I build again those things which I destroyed. So remember this if you can. The identity of a Christian is a destroyer. Your identity as a Christian means you have destroyed. So I want to talk about what we've destroyed. But the second thing I want to do is take the first of those statements in verse 18. If I build again. Now, the great danger of the Christian life is this. That which we've destroyed, we are in danger of building again. There's a constant danger to rebuild. Third thing I want to do is say, okay then, if we do rebuild that which we've destroyed, we make ourselves, I become a transgressor. Now to me it's a very wonderful thing what Paul says there. The only one time God will ever view you as a sinner now is if you do what verse 18 talks about. So let me repeat that. The only time God will ever view you as a sinner is if you do what verse 18 tells you not to. It's the only way God can now view you as sinful. So, Christians, you have destroyed something. What have you destroyed? You have destroyed the old you. You have destroyed the old self. You have destroyed what we can call the old man. So the you that is not a Christian, the you that was not a Christian, the you before you came to Christ, the you that was dead in your sins, the you that was under the wrath of God, that you, the you that tried to please God on your own, that you that offered works to God, that you, you have destroyed. And what Paul is saying here is beautiful, I think. So let's imagine then, and I'll use myself, shall I? Let's imagine there's Neil down the front, an alternative Neil to the one in the pulpit. Let's imagine there's the Neil down there who never came to Christ when he was 17. Let's imagine him now, he's grown, he's got a job, he's got a family, but he's never come to Christ. So he's under the wrath of God, he's without hope, he's without Christ, and he is trying to be good enough for God. So it doesn't mean he goes to church, but he's trying to be a good person in order, when he ever has a thought about God, in order to be good enough. So there's that Neil, the alternative Neil. What Paul says in Galatians 2 is this. God has taken that Neil and crucified him with Christ. God took that Neil, nailed him to the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, that Neil nailed in Christ to the cross, punished in Christ for his sins. That Neil is dead and gone. That's what Paul is saying. God crucified him. But then in verse 18, we have to destroy him. As a Christian now, with a new life in Christ, my task is to destroy what God has crucified. So if God crucified the old me, the without Christ me, my job is to destroy. So both God and I, if you like, work together. God crucifies, so he's dead and gone, but I have to destroy. So I have to destroy the bits of me, the bits of the new Christian me that have remained from the old man. And especially, I want to use one word. I want to use the word righteousness. Any bit of me that wants to show God how righteous I am, I've got to destroy. So any thought that I have, any emotion that I have, any action that I do that waves to God and says, look, God, look how good I am. Look at what I've done, God. And you want to show God your righteousness, that's the me I have to destroy. So your task, my task, is to destroy that old, self-righteous you. God has already crucified him. God has already crucified her. She's already been in Christ. She's already had the condemnation and the judgment fall upon her when she was in Christ on the cross. So for you, there is no future condemnation. There is no future judgment. There is nothing to fear in some future judgment seat appearance. That's gone, crucified with Christ. It's in the past. Your sin is dealt with. God and you are at peace. God is crucified. But you now, you have the task of destroying any self-righteousness that lingers on from that old you. So there's Paul then. To be a Christian is to destroy. Is to destroy the old self-righteous you. Any thought that you're better than anyone else. Any thought that like a sacrifice you want to offer to God. Any idea you ever have that makes you think you've done something on your own, by yourself, that's going to make God pleased. You've got to destroy that. So Christian identity, I'm a destroyer. But then look at the first of the statements in verse 18. If I build again. So I want to use a nice word that Paul uses in this letter and other letters. I want to use the word resurrection. And I want to say this to you. That old self, which God crucified with Christ, that old you that still hangs on inside of you, is always wanting to be resurrected. That old you is just waiting for a moment to come back to life. So that foul, stinking, self-righteous, self-justifying, goody little old you is always in the background, waiting for a moment when he or she can resurrect. And to me, the best way of perhaps thinking about this isn't so much resurrection, but let's think of it as a zombie. The old dead still wanting to come back to life. There's some sort of force, some energy that keeps that old self just dead but alive, wanting to drag its feet around and crawl about a bit if she can. So to be a Christian means you've been crucified, I have been crucified with Christ. It means that you're a destroyer, I have destroyed that old self. But a part of Christian identity is to be on the lookout for your zombie self, that dead bit of you that wants to come back to life. And that zombie old self springs back to life whenever you get something wrong as a Christian. Whenever you sin, whenever you fail, that old zombie self, you hear him start to groan and moan as he tries to come back to life. That is what Paul means when he says, if I build again, if I allow that old self to come back to life, if I allow him a place, if I allow her some sort of voice again in my Christian life, then I'm building again that which I've destroyed. Paul is talking here about justification. How are we right with God? One of the things we may see tomorrow, I'm not sure, is Paul is also talking in these verses about how do we get along with each other. So Paul, if you like, is doing two things. How are we right with God? And how do we get along? And what our job is to do is to sort of unravel which bits of these verses apply to how am I right with God? And which bits of the verses apply to how do I get along? So, for example, Peter was getting along with non-Jewish Christians, and he was getting along with them very nicely until this very famous letter comes from the church in Jerusalem, and some men bring it to the Galatians, and Peter finds out that you're not supposed to eat anymore with non-Jewish Christians. So he's not getting along anymore, if you like. So, not getting along, but also, how do I get right with God? How do I stay right with God as a Christian? How do I stay right with God when, as a Christian, I sin and make mistakes and fail and do the things I shouldn't do? How do I stay right with God then? That's the idea we are working on a Sunday morning. So let me sum up, and then I'm going to conclude. So, how do I stay right with God as a Christian, even when I sin? I say to myself, I have been crucified with Christ. So, the Neil that was once condemned and under judgment, the Neil that would once have to come before God and give an account, that Neil is dead and gone. Christ was on the cross. I was crucified with Christ. God did that. I destroy that old Neil, the bits of him that remain, the fragments, the zombie Neil that is still there. I destroy him. But I'm always on the lookout for him to be resurrected. So let's put it like this. Think back over the past week. Have you done anything that you're ashamed of as a Christian? On your own, perhaps? Nobody else has seen you? Perhaps you've done something you're ashamed of in your marriage? Perhaps you've said something you shouldn't to a fellow Christian? And perhaps you've done something you're ashamed of to a non-Christian. So think back over the past week. Now, as you identify whatever you've done, and you've done something, I've certainly done something, as you identify that now, you look at that thing, whatever you've done that you're ashamed of, and as you look at it, you're in danger of the old zombie you making a noise. And that old zombie you will say, Neil, promise God you'll never do that again. Neil, make a vow that that'll never happen again. Do something, Neil, to make up for what you've done. Offer to God something. Now, perhaps over the past week, you've not done something that you think you should. So again, look back over the past week, and perhaps you've failed to do something. You intended, perhaps, to, I don't know, let's use the older chestnuts. You've intended to pray more, or you intended to read your Bible more, and the week has gone and you haven't. Now, when you look at your life and you see what you haven't done that you should, that old zombie self-righteous self will say, Neil, promise now you'll do it this week. Be better this week. Have a better week now. Don't watch so much TV. Don't spend your time doing that. Come on now, Neil. Make more effort this week. And that thing, that old self, takes the opportunity to make his voice heard, either when you do something wrong or you fail to do something good. She makes her voice heard. She is trying to be resurrected. You are in danger of building again what it is you've destroyed. And what Paul says at the end of verse 18 is this. The only time God will ever hold sin against you is when you try to build again that which has been destroyed. If you ever say to God, God, I'm going to offer to you my righteousness, that's when God will hold sin against you. You've become a transgressor in the sight of God. Because as Paul says in verse 21, you are trying to do without Christ. You are trying to let that old man, that old self, who tried to be righteous by himself, you're allowing him to come back into play. And so you're living as if Christ has never come. So the idea is this. For your whole life, your Christian life, your life before you came to Christ, for your whole life, you rely on Christ, you rely on grace as the answer to sin. So I thought somebody, I forget who it was on Monday, somebody said it quite nicely. When you sin, when you fail to do something that you think you should have done, the answer at that moment isn't the voice of the zombie dead self. The answer is the cross. You bring the cross to play. You bring Christ crucified into that moment when you're feeling guilty, or you're feeling ashamed, or you feel that you failed, you feel bad about yourself in some way. You bring the cross right into that moment, and the cross answers for you. That voice that is saying to you, do better, try harder, be nicer. That voice is answered by the cross. So let's finish, shall we? I think we need to gather our thoughts. How do I build my Christian identity? I'm dead. The old Neil is dead. The new Christian Neil has destroyed the old one. But that old one is in constant danger of resurrection. He's just waiting for his moment to spring back to life. And that old you, that old self-righteous you, who thought you were good enough for God, will jump at the chance to condemn you whenever you fail, or whenever you fail to do what you want to do because you thought he was good. He's there. So when you hear his voice, never let yourself be dragged into it. Never allow yourself to listen to that self-righteous zombie and start to offer to God your own works. Don't allow that to happen. Because if you allow that to happen, then you're making yourself a transgressor. You're living without Christ. You're coming on your own merits to God. You're offering yourself and your own works to God and your own promises to God. You're offering your own righteousness to God. And you have none. Your identity is in Christ. You rely entirely on Christ. Christ has taken all your sins. If other people disapprove of you, Christ has taken those upon himself. As he took the sins of those who disapprove of you, he has taken all our sins. He has borne them to the cross. He paid the price. He bore the wrath. You were in Christ being crucified and you're dead. So live in newness of life. These three I statements then. We've covered them in one go. We'll take a look next Sunday at verse 19. But try to hold on to the identity you have as a Christian. Your identity is in Christ. Well, let's pray, shall we?